chapter 45. And thank you, Brother Brandon. Enjoyed that interactive Bible story, especially the part when you rode your bike and showed us how, he fell. I mean, he went down hard. I was thinking, I didn't know that was part of it. I was like, is he okay? If that happened to Jeremy Pittman, I would be in traction at the hospital tomorrow. So that was quite the impressive roll there. That was popped right back up too. If you have your notes, you'll notice Joseph, we're finishing up Genesis chapter 45. And we've entitled the message tonight, Joseph's Great Reveal. Anybody not have an outline tonight? Anybody not have an outline? Put your hand up. And Brother Richard will come. There's one down here, two over here, one here. Okay, right here, Brother Derek, Mr. Canlicchio, Lawrence's. Give Brother Brandon three of those outlines, please. Just kidding. As we're looking tonight, I've always appreciated sometimes you notice plot twists in stories. And how many of you like to watch sometimes a good movie or you're reading a good book? As a child, I would read different books. And I can remember being 7 or 8 years old and reading a Hardy Boys book. And I'm dating myself. I didn't read Nancy Drew, Hardy Boys. And I would read Hardy Boys and I would see a twist in it. And I was like, wow, everything changed at this moment. Well, I'll tell you one person who, when you're watching a movie, and my wife knows this better than anyone, pastor does not like reveals in literature. He does not like the plot twisting in a movie. Whenever we have pastor up to watch a movie, and this has been for 30 years, when we watch a movie, pastor likes the good guy to always win. He wants the bad guy to always not have success, and he wants the good guy to never die. And so that's why he likes those old westerns, because the good, Lone Ranger never dies. Everything is clearly laid out. And I'll never forget the other night we invited Pat. We're like, hey, Pastor, you want to watch this movie with us? And he's like, what's it about? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's a good movie. I mean, it's got these. And I said, he goes, well, I want to know, does the good guy die? I'm like, Pastor, you're going to ruin it for me. I got to look up the whole plot. I got to look everything out. And he says, I'm not going to watch it unless I know what happens. I'm like, Dad, that ruins the whole thing. And Mandy, you can vouch for me. There's been times we've watched a 2-hour movie and it comes to the last 15 minutes and he goes, he died. And I kind of hit it. I didn't tell him. I was like, oh, you'll like this. You'll like this. And then the guy dies. It's a true story, Dad. I can't change true stories, But we often get a kick out of some of the things that, we all like to have an ending. And sometimes when they have those twists in it, well, you will be hard-pressed to find a true story like the one of Joseph, who goes through such tragedy where your brothers are so vindictive they would sell you into slavery. And Genesis 45 picks up essentially where he has been in such turmoil for 23 years, lost 23 years of his life, and yet God's taken him through to the prison, back up to the palace, back to a prison, and now he is in command of so many areas of Egypt. And yet we see this reveal where Joseph comes in Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself. This is Genesis 45:1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph saith unto his brethren, I am Joseph. So if you can imagine, this whole time you haven't seen a brother in 23 years, and now all of a sudden the brother has completely changed his appearance. Everything has changed, and you had no idea this one that you persecuted, that you made fun of, this one that you had done all these evil things, now he is the main supreme leader. And you look here and it says, and his brethren could not answer him in verse 3, for they were troubled at his presence. And so we see first, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers and reminds us how to forgive those who hurt us and be reconciled to them. And that's the whole 28 verses tonight we're going to look at, is how Joseph comes to a situation in life. And all of us will have situations where people mistreat us, people do the wrong thing to us, and we have to know how to respond properly. Because this inherently, that when you don't forgive, what happens? That root of bitterness starts to get in your heart and bores a hole very deep. And what's going to happen is, you know, one of the things about cicadas, as we were talking about that earlier, you know, they bore holes in trees, and you know, sometimes, and when it gets into the ground, the seeds go into the ground, and then what's going to happen? 17 years from now, they're going to come back up. Same thing, like clockwork. If we don't learn to forgive tonight, bitterness comes right back. It comes back with the vengeance. It comes back more and more and more. And we look tonight, number one, Joseph now chooses to face his brothers directly and focus on the positives God brought forth from his situation. I want you to see this in verses 1 through 7. Joseph now chooses to face his brothers directly and focus on the positives God brought forth from this situation. We're going to see this in the next 15 verses where all of us have a situation where bad things happen at work, they happen in our home, and we have to choose to focus on the positive and not the negative. And Joseph does this. We see in verse 5, it is not good that it is in which my Lord... I'm in the wrong chapter. That's not the verse I wanted. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Excuse me, I'm having allergies, nothing else, okay? And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, tonight, I want you to understand, these verses really happened years earlier. It happened 23 years ago when he's thrown in a pit, he's sold in slavery, and he chose not to let bitterness let him change his whole life and say, you know what, I'm going to worship these gods. Forget the true God. Look where the true God got me. And perhaps tonight you're in a situation where you're saying, Jehovah God has let me down. Jehovah God doesn't see me. You know, I'm certain Joseph had these thoughts. Joseph had to have had the thought, and it was Satan every time. And so anytime we get into situations and God says, you know, you can forgive from your heart. Joseph had the right spirit and God said, I'm going to keep elevating you as long as you have the right attitude. We see in a day where there are divided families, husbands and wives are divided against each other. Parents and children are divided against each other. Brothers against brothers, sisters against sisters, and relatives against relatives. I'll never forget being in this church 29 years ago. I sat right there. I'll never forget. A woman over here and a woman over here would not talk to each other. And as a 9th or 10th grader, you just don't understand that. You're like, well, I can mend the fences, you know. I can help out this situation. And I'll never forget going up and wondering, asking. I ended up figuring out what happened. These people are not friendly. I mean, you talk about going to opposite sides of the church. It was an issue. You know, that should never be in the house of the Lord. Now, you know, ultimately, the Lord worked through some miraculous ways, and those women reconciled. But I remember thinking for years, this isn't right. You know what? When we fail to forgive each other, our children see it. Our children know this isn't right. This isn't what God intended. Well, Joseph now chose to face his brothers face to face directly. And many times in our lives, we just have to get it out of the way and face the issue straight on. We see this in Matthew 18. We see this, notice letter A, we must learn to face those who have hurt or offended us with forgiving hearts. If you remember, this is one of the ways our prayers are answered. In Matthew 5, 23 through 24, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I'll never forget, in East Africa, we'd have this happen. We'd have some of our people come, and this verse was taught on the radio. We had Calvary Radio, and I'll never forget a man coming and saying, he said, Pastor, Matthew chapter 5, I've hated that man for 25 years. And I was thinking, what happened? He explains to me the situation. He says, Pastor, I cannot come to church until I forgive that man. He went and got it right on a Friday and was in church Sunday morning. You know what? He took the word of God very literally and said, I've got to get this corrected. You know what I'm afraid today is we can have a very comfortable meeting place. I'll remind you, yesterday Uganda got locked down. 42 days of no services. They're mandating vaccinations in different places. It's looking like a dire situation with some of the things that are breaking out there. And I'm getting calls from some of our nationals, and they're saying, pray for us. Now we can't have group meetings. Now we can only have house meetings. And yet, you know what? They're being faithful to do exactly what they can do. Let's not take for granted the privileges. A year ago, we couldn't meet like this. You know, tonight, it's a privilege that we can meet, but it's a privilege that we still have the ability to meet face to face and make wrongs right. If you notice, Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without no man shall see the Lord. You know, God is reminding us through Hebrews 12:14 and Matthew 18:15 that when there's something wrong, and there might be someone tonight that you're sitting here and you say, I know there is an offense with someone, and maybe they're not in this room. Maybe it's a phone call you might have to make. But can I encourage you tonight? Joseph said, first of all, I'm going to meet these brothers face to face. Now, I've already tested them. I've already put them through all these things. I've seen very firsthand that now they've treated Benjamin right. I was wondering, are they going to treat Benjamin right? They treat Benjamin right. And now they say, we're willing to even die for Benjamin. You see, he saw his brothers change from 23 years earlier, and now he presents himself to his brothers and says, now, I want you to understand, I've totally forgiven you. Do you understand God has a bigger picture? And he tells them this. You see, letter B, Joseph showed great affection and wept as he identified himself to his brothers. Notice in verse 2 and 3, he called himself outside. He meets with them. He weeps. It reminds me, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. In Uganda, we had many folks. I started a Bible study among Rwandans, and many of the Rwandans were part of the genocide. If you've ever seen people who one group of people totally hates another group of people, and you're trying to do this Bible study, and this is 20 years after that genocide had happened. I'll never forget walking into a meeting and feeling the pressure. And as we would study the Bible, they didn't have Bibles. We got them Bibles. We started doing a Bible study. You know, one of the coolest things was to see some of those Rwandan folks trust Christ as their Savior. And one of the first things they realized they had to do was forgive. And you know, tonight, many times we don't experience the joy. We don't experience all of the blessings God wants to give us through the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? Because we just fail to forgive one another. Forgiveness, you see, always comes at a cost. Some of you might have heard of J.D. Greer. He's a noted theologian. He said, I remember a Muslim asking me when I lived in Southeast Asia, why would God need somebody to die in order to forgive my sin? I've had the same question asked to me from Muslims in other countries. This Muslim man looked at him and said, if you sinned against me and I wanted to forgive you, I wouldn't make you kill something else before I forgave you. Why would God require some kind of sacrifice to forgive? This was his answer. He said, choosing to forgive somebody means that you are agreeing to absorb the cost of the injustice of what they've done. He looked at this man and he said, imagine you stole my car and you wrecked it and you don't have insurance and the money to pay for it. What are my choices? I could make you pay. I could haul you before a judge and request a court-mandated payment plan. If you were foolish enough to steal, and he jokes around about having this $1.5 million Ferrari, and he says, I don't actually have a Ferrari. He said, you might never pay it off, and you'd always be in my debt. He looked at this Muslim man and said, but I have another choice. I could just forgive you. What am I choosing to do? If I say I forgive you, I'm choosing to absorb the cost of your wrong. I'll have to pay the price of the car being fixed. You see, you will have no debt to pay. Not because there was nothing to pay, but because I paid it all. Not only that, I'm choosing to absorb the pain of your treatment of me. I'm choosing to give your friendship and acceptance, even though you deserve the opposite. He then goes on to say, this is always how forgiveness works. It always comes at a cost of the giver. If you forgive someone, you bear the cost rather than insisting that the wrongdoer does. And that is what Jesus, the mighty God, was doing when he came to earth and lived as a man and died a criminal's death on a wooden cross. You see, too many times when we go through life, true forgiveness is at times accepting that cost. But what do we want to do at times? We want to make other people pay and continue to pay and keep paying for an injustice being done. You notice Joseph here says, wait. You know what? Let bygones be bygones. God used this for good. God had a greater plan, and he focuses on the positives of the situation. You know, tonight, you might be in a situation that seems insurmountable. I would encourage you to come to a place like Joseph did and say, I'm going to incur the cost. That is what true forgiveness is. We notice number two, Joseph forgives his brothers and he reminds them of God's greater purpose. We see this in Acts 7, 9 through 14. We don't have time to read it. You would be familiar with Romans 8, 27, as it reminds us, and he searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, and this is a familiar passage, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, we might be going through situations this evening that we can't explain. We know God wants us to forgive, but we don't know how it's going to work out. Joseph certainly was in that situation many times. He didn't have a promise that he was going to be ascended almost to the throne, yet he had to make a decision 15 years earlier to say, you know what, I'm not going to harbor that bitterness against my brothers. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to have the right attitude. I'm going to go to work every day, even though I'm being mistreated, even though I'm being falsely accused. I'm still going to do the right thing. And this evening, perhaps you're going to work. You're going to a place that people are just like Potiphar's wife. There is unsaved, unregenerate people, and you're always having to pay the cost of forgiveness. Can I remind you tonight that it will be worth it one day? We might not see as Joseph did. He didn't see the benefits of it right off. But I'm reminded, he reminded them, number one, letter A, not to be grieved or angry with themselves in Genesis 48 and verse 5. Isn't that important? Not to be grieved. How gracious was he? You know, many times when you look at this thing, he could have stipulated a lot of things. But he said, don't be grieved or angry with yourself. Letter B, it reminds us that God requires that we forgive those who hurt us and do terrible injustices to us. It reminds me of Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and malice and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You remember Luke 17:4? And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Isn't that what we would have said? Like, oh my word, seven times a day they keep doing the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, Lord, increase my faith. And notice, do we want to have great faith today? Faith starts with forgiveness. When you have a forgiving heart, notice what he says here. First, if you trespass against thee seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, increase our faith, Lord. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But you know what it started off with? Forgiveness. And tonight, perhaps the reason we don't have power in certain areas of our life is because we're not forgiving our wife or our husband or our children, or in some way we're holding this back, and God says it's producing bitterness and it's not allowing me to work in you the way I want. Colossians 3:13 tells us, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Quite honestly, I don't know how anybody, it's very difficult for me to see wrong injustice is done to children. Children of any age, but especially small children. One of the things I had to learn in Uganda was at times we would pull people out of very abusive situations. And I'm talking about the worst abuses possible. Children were dying. And we had to go into situations and pull children out. And I had no understanding how someone could mistreat a child. And yet, over time, never forget a wife looking and over time looking and saying, but pastor, and so she went through a lot of counseling and we had a lot of things going on, But that couple who had had so much turmoil and angst, both of them trusted Christ as their Savior. They became one of the sweetest couples in one of our village churches. They became a testimony for everyone else. But you know what? It took great forgiveness on the wife's part. It took a total reformation change on the man's part. But you know what? God can do those things. God specializes in forgiveness and renovating. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you so much. God specializes in renovating lives. If you notice, God requires that we forgive those who hurt us and do terrible injustices to us. Notice letter C, Joseph reminds them that God's purpose was to use this hardship to save lives through the great famine. So you notice that this hardship was something that God said. No way does Joseph look at this and go, well, this is a great deal for me. 23 years I've gone through really bad circumstances. Perhaps you've been in a situation for years going through hardship and you say, when is my ship going to come in? What's God doing? And yet Joseph had very few days of success in the world's eyes. He was still a slave. He was still being abused. Yet Joseph had to remind himself that God's purpose, God wasn't going to show him his purpose 20 years earlier. God said, I'm showing it to you right now. Notice letter D. God's greater purpose was to save the family of Israel through Joseph's incarceration and ultimate ascension to leader in Egypt. Very few times will you say, wow, somebody's got to go to jail. Someone's got to be a slave in order to work the greater good. And yet, God's greater purpose, in such an extreme situation, God said, I needed this to happen for me to put Joseph in this situation. Tonight, God perhaps is putting you through some difficult situations to bring a greater good. Notice letter E. God often works in ways far beyond our comprehension. We should not focus too much on our current circumstances, as God is in control of all things. Can you imagine with the butler and the baker, Joseph sitting there and saying, remember me, don't forget to remember me, forgets about him for 2 years. Perhaps tonight you feel like someone's forgotten you for 2 years, maybe longer than that. Joseph had to still have the right attitude. He had to realize God often works in ways far beyond our comprehension. I'm reminded of Jeremiah 32:10, and I'm reminded of Isaiah 55, where he says, his ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. Notice Roman numeral 3, Joseph's forgiveness and reconciling to his brothers was a good testimony to Pharaoh's court. We see this in verse 16 and 17, and the fame thereof. So once Joseph made the forgiveness public, and you have to understand, they had to have known his family. I mean, Joseph, why were you not with your family in Israel? What happened? They had to have known the situation. And notice when he forgave and it was public, verse 16, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts and go get you into the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives. Bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. So you see the great fortune in forgiveness here. We'll look at that in a moment. But Roman numeral 3, Joseph's forgiveness and reconciling to his brothers was a good testimony to Pharaoh's court. Letter A, the news even stirred Pharaoh's heart to order Joseph to bring his whole family to Egypt. What can stir the heart of a king? Forgiveness. To show such great forgiveness to his brothers, we see letter B, when we forgive for great offenses, God can use it in the lives of others. Letter B, when we forgive for great offenses, God can use it in the lives of others. You see, you simply have no idea when you forgive someone how far it can go. We forget even how healthy it is to forgive someone. I was reading this. Kathleen Lawler Rowe, a doctor, was conducting extensive research into the effects of forgiveness on the human body. During her experiments, she was probing the connection between forgiveness and symptoms of physical stress, like blood pressure. She said, when I bring people into the laboratory, I ask them to tell me about a time when someone deeply upset them, hurt them, or betrayed them. Some people say, well, where do you want me to start? I have a long list. They could talk about lots of different people in that context, but other people sit and think and think and think, and they struggle to come up with anything. You see, those are really forgiving people. And I think that's part of the forgiving personality. Now, it's much more than a personality. It's spiritual. But more forgiving people are just a little less aware of being offended. It then shifts to Dr. Lawler's laboratory, and she asked one of her patients to rate his current level of forgiveness toward an individual on a scale from 1 to 10. And they did this over 2,000 patients. When a person walks into the laboratory, she continues through this voiceover they were doing, we have a few minutes where they sit and we try to get a resting level of their blood pressure. And interestingly, highly forgiving people have lower blood pressure just walking around in the world every day. But when we bring them into the lab, we ask them about a time when someone betrayed them and everyone's blood pressure increases. She goes on and talks about a lot of different patients, but she talked about one lady. She said, your blood pressure when we started out is very normal, 121 over 83. But as you start talking about this event in your life, it goes up to 156 over 87, then 164, and now it's 184 over 127. She says, this lack of forgiveness is really affecting your health. It goes on and it talks about many of these other people. But she said this, where someone else may have a far more trivial incident, but if they're hanging on to it for dear life, you see the pattern and maintenance of higher blood pressures consistently through these 2,000 patients. She said, you know, it causes their blood pressure to be higher for a longer period of time. She said, you know, I think, and she's not a Christian, but she said, this personality of forgiveness is better, it's a better healthy life for people. You know, we know that because we know the scriptures. Tonight, there are great benefits to just doing God's will. We see here, letter A, Pharaoh promised to abundantly provide for the family of Joseph. Pharaoh promised to abundantly provide for the family of Joseph. We see they gave them gifts. They gave them wealth. Letter B, Pharaoh instructed the brothers to leave all their household items as he would replace them with new furnishings from Egypt. So this was a deal where forgiveness happens and then all of a sudden these brothers are being blessed with things that they could not have imagined. We see Roman numeral 5, Joseph's forgiveness revived the heart of Jacob and caused great rejoicing. We notice this in verse 26 and 28. And they came up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan and Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. You know, you remember many times they had lied to their father. In this situation, they were telling the truth and he still had a hard time believing. Verse 27, and they told him, excuse me, all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So we see Roman numeral 5. Joseph's forgiveness revived the heart of Jacob and caused great rejoicing. You know what that reminds me of? Tonight, we can all revive the hearts of other people when we choose to simply forgive. Letter A, our actions of forgiveness can renew the hearts of others in unexpected ways. You see, the Lord doesn't always explain exactly how all of these things are going to fit together. He just says, you know what? I want you to forgive. 7 times in a day, forgive. No matter how many times, forgive. Letter B, forgiveness is a choice that can bring about great blessings. You'll see the verses there. Colossians 3:13, 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11. I'm reminded tonight that many times the reason we don't have the joy and the wonderful blessings that God intends for us is because we simply don't choose to forgive. Some of you would know the name Gordon Wilson. He was a cloth merchant, other side of Ireland. He lived some in England. If you remember in 1995, there was a terrible bombing. If you remember at that time, the IRA, and I'm sorry, this was November 8th, 1987. It was a Sunday. He was there with his daughter. A building, and I guess this story spoke to me because I've been in a situation where a car bomb went off, killed 71 people, and everyone in my family was okay. But in the building right next to us, it was totally obliterated. And it was a World Cup bombing in Uganda. And I read this story. This man who had served in the British Armed Forces, he had gone to this event. And the provisional IRA had planted a 40-pound bomb in the town's reading rooms behind where he and his daughter were sitting. It was time to go off at 10:43, just before the ceremony was due to start. The explosion killed 11 people and injured 64 people. The blast buried Gordon Wilson and his daughter Marie in the rubble. Unable to move, he held her hand and comforted her as she lay dying. Her last words to her father were, "Daddy, I want you to know I love you very much." 5 minutes later, rescuers pulled Wilson and his daughter from under the collapsed building. Marie never regained consciousness and later died in the hospital. If you know anything about this man, Gordon Wilson, he was a Baptist, had a great salvation testimony. He went all throughout Belfast. He went all throughout and gathered. And if you remember back in 87, 88, this is when the IRA took a big blow because of this incident. This man went out on TV all around Britain, and you can go on YouTube and watch some of the videos. They're just soul-stirring. He says, "You know what, I'm just going to forgive all of the men who've taken away my daughter." He said this, "I've lost my daughter, but I bear no grudges. Bitter talk is not going to bring Marie back. I shall pray every night that God will forgive them as I have." Once recovered, he crusaded for reconciliation. The Protestant extremists went out and tried to take, they found out who did the bombing. They were going to try to take him out. He went and had conciliatory meetings to just make sure things were settled. Did you know when he was buried, 8 years later, in 1995, both countries held moments of silence for his burial? You know what happened? He brought two nations together. And many of you know some of the things going on now there greatly was reduced, partly because a man named Gordon Wilson stood up as a Christian and said, "I'm going to forgive." And it was on a public stage. People saw it. Where does this forgiveness come from? That forgiveness can only come from the God of heaven. But you know, tonight, we know the God of heaven. Tonight, I'd encourage you with this. As you read the life of Joseph, and as we finished up studying his life, I trust that no matter what situation you go through, you'll realize, I can forgive, I can go on, and God can bless. And God can work in ways that we might not see 1 year, 2 years. In this case, it was 23 years later. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God asks us to be faithful. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes and we talk to you, Father, I don't know the situations represented in this room tonight. But Lord, in a crowd this size, there must be folks here. Lord, at times with forgiveness and things, all of us have to choose to forgive. But Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts in a way, Lord, that in a still small voice, to put maybe it's a name. Lord, if there's anyone that we've not been forgiving the way we should, if there's a situation we need to make right, Lord, I pray that you'd give us the wisdom and the courage to handle that after this service. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, bless us, Lord, as we follow your word. Thank you so much for the life lessons of Joseph. Lord, I pray that we would apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.